This is CliffCentral.com.
Sanmona Nonke! Thank you to G and the team. Back again tomorrow morning. Hey, it is Frankless speaking on Wednesday, 9 to 11. Dumelang Rorisang Shobalala.
Eta.
Hello, guy.
Shapuzet.
What is that language? Oh my goodness gracious me. Okay, welcome to the show. It is 9 to 11. It is Frankly Speaking. We have got a show for you today. Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
So, you've all been seeing two big things happening. One is Parliament going ballistic, and we have the budget speech happening today. Good luck to everyone who's wealthy. That wealth tax is going to go up to 43%, supposedly. That's what the critics are saying. And the other big thing is the student movement is really moving up a gear.
Yeah.
It's going into the next stage of things. We've been seeing... What do you call these things? That's what I've been... unrest, violence, silent protests, vigils. What do you call these things?
The militant revolution of the students.
The militant revolution of students happening across campuses in South Africa. We saw UP, University of Pretoria, that's Tux, going crazy on Monday. We saw the UFS having a good rugby tackle, blacks and whites fighting each other. You know how we like that in South Africa, a little bit of black and white fighting. It's great. UCT last week blowing up art. And University of KwaZulu-Natal also getting in on the action. They don't want to be left out either with regards to outsourcing. And of course, here in Johannesburg, Wits and UJ, they continue the struggle for fees. They're keeping it quite consistent with fees. Fees must fall. Huge amounts of interesting things going on across the country.
And don't forget the universities of technology that tend to be get left out of elitist middle class discourse on these things. We know of TUT's struggles. These are struggles that have been happening for a very long time. TUT in Pretoria and just around the country. You know, there's also universities like UWC and so on that are also engaged in this battle to try and, well, are we sure what they're trying to do?
I don't know if we are sure what they're trying to do.
Didn't they already cancel fees or whatever increases and so on this year? So
that was for 2015.
Yeah. So why are we still fighting? Right?
Well, I think the interesting thing is a lot of people, non-students. I can't believe that I have to say that I'm part of the old generation now, but are talking about this violence on campus and if it's justified or not. And I think that's a very good point. You know, we look at some of these young people and we're like, you know, is this justified? Is this the way we're going to go forward? Is there not another way in order to make your voices heard? And it looks like there isn't. So, you know, I think this is a good question. A lot of people asking, is the violence justified on our campuses? A lot of people have been very critical about our students across the campus, saying that they're just... What are they? Ruma mangaras and rubber houses.
Yeah, they just like, get an education. That's what you're there for. You're not there for anything else. Get on with it. There's another view that says that, you know, is government and are the authorities and are the university leaders and management, do they listen if through nothing else but violence? We've been speaking and they're not doing anything. And think about it, Andrew. Would apartheid have ended if not for the acts of violence and confrontation that went with the freedom struggle and made it impossible to have a normal life in South Africa? Think about it. It's only through that struggle and through that violent revolution that we got to where we are. Now, the question is that what it's going to take to get us further and to get us somewhere? The other thing is, who needs to die? South Africa is very fond of getting into this violent tension and so on every so and often until somebody dies. We saw it with Hector Peterson. Once Hector's blood was shed for this whole thing. Things sort of started to settle down a bit in the, in that era. We know that, for example, in Margana, it took the lives of 44 people before things could settle down there. So we're the type of people that just don't calm down or settle down until we have the sobering reality of death confronting us. And so are we going to need to see some students dying before this happens? Of course, there's another side to this, and there are people who really genuinely believe this is a nuisance. You got a very interesting text from, I don't know if it's a friend or whatever, saying, stop stoking the fires, and all you did was just share the video at UFS. And he said, that was just a normal case of a crowd disruption of a match, and that's normal. It would have happened anywhere. You're just causing trouble, Andrew.
I'm always causing trouble, Rory. That's the
problem. What's your problem, dude?
Look, let's not talk about my problems just yet. Let's just let the listeners know, is the violence justified on campuses? That's what we're speaking about, frankly speaking, 2 hours today, 9 to 11. Hey, we want to hear from you. Have you got questions to the students? We are going to get students from most campuses across South Africa today, and we want to hear from you. 0861-555-189. You can also WeChat us at cliffcentral.com and tweet us at Yebo_LEVY or at Rory Shabalala. There is a lot going on at the moment on Twitter. We'll read out some of those messages a little bit later. What are your thoughts around this campus unrest, violence, vigils? Do you think the violence is justified? I mean, you put that Facebook thing saying that you wanted blood.
No, I didn't say I want blood. I said this: our nation is crying out. Our nation's soil is hungry for blood. We don't stop. We don't tend to stop until there's blood and it sobers us all up and helps us to get perspective. So I'm not necessarily saying I want blood. I'm saying typically these things only stop when there's been bloodshed. Margana, you know, things didn't settle down until there was bloodshed. Hector Peterson, are we waiting for blood to be shed? And we're starting to see it escalate. The UFS, UP, it's now becoming violent in a racist way as well. So yeah, I'm just saying, my sense coming into it, I was like, no, the violence is not necessary, and so on. Then I started reading a bit about it and started understanding where people were coming from, right? That riot is the voice of the unheard, as Martin Luther King has said. And there's many people who've written things on the violence. And amongst them, we send in Ndlozi, who's written some very interesting pieces about liberal peace, about this farce that's liberal peace, as he calls it, and just about black-on-black violence that we're seeing between EFF and SASCO. So that's how I'm coming into it.
I'm coming into it with an interesting perspective and lens. I originally thought that, oh, this violence feels a bit weird. But this, you know, the smoke that calls, that's the only way that people get heard in this country, is if the smoke is made that calls the people to account. Mbuyiseni, good morning. I hear that you are not a fan of me. I'm a liberal. Why are you hating on me, man?
Hi, who am I speaking to?
You're speaking to Andrew and Rory. You see, you're a busy guy. Yeah. You see, the guy that phones you 24/7, you ignore his calls, Mbuyiseni. We must talk about this afterwards.
It's a very complex business around the country.
Okay, this is a good excuse.
Mbuyiseni, let's get into it. We know you're on your way to the budget to the budget speech. We're speaking violence on the campuses, and you have let's first understand what the struggle is about, which you have framed as an affront against colonialism. So many would ask you that you know, colonialism in South Africa ended in 1961. What do you mean this is a struggle against colonialism? Is this just a conspiracy theory and leftist propaganda that you're peddling? What do you say to that? Help explain the struggle to us.
I mean, the simplest way to put it without being verbose is basically that we are still dealing with the consequences and the legacy of the colonial organization of society in the interest of white supremacy. That is what basically that means, the long and short of it. And that life continues as it was in the protection, the maintenance, and the advancement of black people, of white people at the expense of black people.
Buisenu, who exactly are these modern-day colonizers that are keeping the status quo as it is? Can you name some of them just to give us a more tactile understanding of what exactly we are fighting against? Create a picture and an image of what exactly or who exactly this fight is against.
Those who maintain the status quo are on one hand white monopoly capital and what we can call a house slave government in the form of the ANC. They are keeping the colonial and apartheid legacies intact in that all of life, not only in South Africa but the rest of the continent, happens for the advancement, the maintenance of white people at the expense of black people. Mm. So to that extent, that's what happens. And I think that that's what we mean. And so in this case, the antagonism has to be against both the incumbents as well as both the government of the day as well as the broader structures of white monopoly capital.
Can you just give us a context of how this is manifesting in the university system? So obviously you have framed this as a battle that happens across all sectors of South African society, but in this instance we're looking at violence on the campuses. So how does that worldview fit in on campuses? What is specifically happening on campuses that reflects the dominance of white monopoly capital, as you call it, and just the colonial legacy of the past?
The reality of the matter is that what has been happening in universities is that students have been trying to challenge, first of all, the commodification of education on one hand, and on the other, they've been trying to decolonize pedagogies, the organization of space that has been left intact since apartheid and colonial times to celebrate values that are contrary to the ones that we represent. They've also been trying to challenge forms and systems of knowledge production as well as curriculum content that has remained unchanged. And these struggles we have seen unfold in specifically in recent times in three forms. One is the Roads Must Fall movement, the other is the Fees Must Fall movement, and most recently is Africans Must Fall movement. In Leicester, in Stellenbosch, the University of Pretoria, most recently. So these are struggles against the dominant narratives, the dominant ways of doing education that have remained intact since colonial and apartheid times.
Mbuyiseni, we saw the racist confrontations Monday night at UFS. A lot of people claiming that they weren't racist in nature, it was just drunk people at a rugby game fighting other people at a rugby game. Your thoughts on this violence that came out at UFS on Monday night, as well as we saw the Freedom Front Plus criticizing the EFF, saying that you guys are inciting violence on campus. What do you think about that?
We would need the evidence of the incitement that we have done, but it would be very naive to think what happened at the University of Free State has nothing to do with racism. The victims tell of stories of being called all sorts of racist names, like animals, and that white mob violence was unleashed on black protesters precisely because white racists have a collective agreement, the collective consensus that that's how you deal with protesters, like how the apartheid government dealt with them, through violence. That's the only way. Had it been white people who were protesting or demonstrating in the field, unarmed, peacefully, you wouldn't have seen the type of reaction that you saw on that day. So it would be very naive, it's naive even of the Vice Chancellor, Professor Jonathan Johnson, to bury his head in the sand and think what he's dealing with is not racism. And anyway, the struggle that night was about insourcing black workers that have remained outsourced in precarious labor contracts in a university where they've been, you know, subject to a lot of racial abuse. And we know, for instance, in 2008, white racist students peed, urinated on the food of those workers and forced it on them. So It would be very naive of us to think that was not racially motivated.
Mbuyiseni, was the gesture at that time by Professor Jonathan Jansen to basically bring about healing and reconciliation a farce? And would you call him a house nigger, which you have gone on to describe and expound upon in some of your writings, what a house nigger is?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, why don't you deal with those events in the same way you deal with any criminal element? Investigation, they must be arrested, they must be put in their place, they must be shown that you do what you did on Monday, you're going to be met with the full might of the law. Why sing kumbaya? Mm. Particularly if you don't, particularly if you think it's not racism. Why sing kumbaya? Why talk all those things? 22 years down to democracy, you are still begging white people to accept the existence of black people. It can't be. We reject it and it doesn't work. It doesn't work in the past 22 years and it will never work because it's based basically on the misdiagnosis of how racial domination happens. You've got to be very harsh on racism, particularly anti-black racism. And I mean, I'm saying to you to this day, we don't have anyone. Images are all over. Videos are all over the social media network. And we haven't reported a single arrest. And that's how black bodies are not treated with the dignity, the agency, and the respect that is given to human beings. And so you tell me if we're not dealing with the situation of racism.
Mbuyiseni, I'm interested to understand what you're telling the Youth League caucuses of EFF at the different campuses about how they should handle themselves regarding the protests, the unrest, and the violence happening on campuses across South Africa.
No, the Student Command is an autonomous student body. As and when they need whatever advice, they speak to us. They are engaged in conscious actions of protest. They are not armed, and they demonstrate within the law. They've got the right of demonstration. As to why they get stopped by the Ku Klux Klan in the form of AfriForum at the University of Pretoria must be put squarely as a violation of their constitutional rights. So I have not thought that they've been doing something correct. They actually don't need much of my advice. Of course, we've been supporting, we've been projecting support and solidarity in relation to them. So they've got our 100% support as the mother structure.
Mbuyiseni, as we let you go, we've seen Corneille Mulder, you mentioned the Freedom Front Plus, who's a member of parliament on campuses, seemingly leading his troops from the front as they provoke, harass and assault black students. Why has we not seen the likes of the Commander-in-Chief Julius Malema also putting his boots on the ground and leading his forces from the front?
You are going to accuse him of campaigning for local government elections. The students are adequate. That's what I keep indicating. Mm. They don't need to be validated. They don't need to be. Their argument and their autonomy is massive. From where we stand, I mean, we struggle. We keep where we have been mandated. We keep the fires burning. So I have no doubt that the autonomy of the students, after being affirmed, they are capable to lead that revolution to its logical conclusion.
And just help us understand, is the violence necessary? So could this be done in any other way except through violence?
The only people that have been violent that I am aware of in relation to the cases, in particular of the University of Pretoria, as well as the University of the Free State, have not been the protesters, but those who are trying to deny their rights, demonstration and protest. So we have no doubt that those are the people you should be directing those conversations and those questions to. You must be asking those white racists, why are they violent, including Corneille Mulder, who calls himself a constitutional expert but supports and has been associated with fascist tradition.
Finally, Mbuyiseni, what responsibility as an elder to the students on the campuses, and as a political leader, what responsibility do you feel for the lives of these students, particularly as some get criminal records, expulsions, and delays in their studies? You know, we know, for example, that the Commander-in-Chief Julius Malema has let's say dodged a lot of the of criminal charges and so on. What do you say to them, and what responsibility do you feel about young people losing their futures in this way?
No, that's very naive, my brother. The world has been changed in many parts of the world, even in here in South Africa, by students who take a decision to challenge the system. Mm. And that's part of education. To say that they are avoiding their studies and all, that's naive. Part of pedagogical
Not avoiding the studies.
No, that's mm-hmm. what you're saying.
No,
that's
what I'm saying is the delay in their studies because of
That's the implication. Is to view protest action as not part of any.
Yes.
We must be celebrating these students because they are defining and defending constitutional values that a lot of us are going around as if it's business as usual.
Mm.
That is better education.
Mm.
That is to be more educated than the rest of us who sit on our comfortable air-conditioned offices and discuss the Constitution. They are out there trying to transform these institutions to the better, and that is proper higher education. And the history of all student struggles has proven that people who come out of those traditions build better societies, they become better leaders. And I have no doubt that that's what will happen with these students as well. They've made the argument. That's how they arrive at that, because they've made a superior argument. They are representing a superior logic than those who choose to go on in the university as if business is usual. These students are saying, we cannot study in classrooms that are cleaned by people who are exploited. That's noble. By people who are treated as if they are animals. That's noble.
Mm.
That's proper education. That is a society I want to belong to. I don't want to belong to a society of people who go into science labs and come and produce atomic bombs that are dropped, you know, in different parts of the world.
Mm.
That's not the society I want to belong to. I want an education that is driven by progressive values. And that's what these students are saying. They are saying, what type of university do we want to belong to? What type of learning activity and pedagogical cultures that we want to be part of? And to that extent, they must be commended. We commend them. Thank you.
Mm. Mbuyisele, thank you so much for joining us. Just lastly, are you going to make any points of orders at the budget speech?
Let's all watch at 2 o'clock and then. Okay, thank you very much.
Oh my goodness!
Thanks, Mbuyisele.
Mbuyisele Ndlozi, thank you so much, EFF member, joining us from Cape Town. Appreciate his discussions. He's been talking a lot in the media at the moment about the violence on campus.
It's an interesting framing, isn't it? He says what they're doing is noble. And what does it say for the rest of us that are willing to allow things to remain as they are? What is the greater violence, burning of paintings or allowing students to remain excluded from the halls of learning? Which is the greater violence ultimately? And I hear him saying, well, the greater violence is allowing yourself and accepting a reality where people that clean your classrooms are being exploited, where the vast majority of students are being excluded based on language, based on poverty. And he says they're not willing to live with that reality, and thus they are noble.
Mm.
Interesting view.
Very, I mean, it's a sound view.
He also says we're naive, by the way.
Yeah. No, not we. You.
Yeah.
let's just clarify that you are naive.
You know, this guy used to debate with him, and I used to smack him down every single time. It's just that he was rushing for a plane, but I had words for him there. I was like,
you held back. All right, we're talking on frankly speaking about, is the violence justified on campus? We want to hear your thoughts. Get us on WeChat at Cliff Central or on Twitter at Rory Shabalala or at Yebo_LEVY. You can hit us up. What are your thoughts? Is the violence justified on campuses? We're going to be speaking to a whole bunch of students. We just heard from Mbuyisele Ndlozi, who's been writing in the papers about the violence being justified because you cannot be in a place, an institution of learning, when so many people are being mistreated. Very interesting view. We've got some local varsity students here as well. In studio with us, George Kibler is joining us from UJ. George.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on, George. George.
Yeah.
George.
That's me.
That's you?
Yep.
Okay, George, you're going to have to speak a bit louder. You're a very quiet
right.
guy. There you go, George. Welcome
you can
to the,
hear me now.
I okay. can hear you. Welcome to Great. The welcome to the show.
You wouldn't say these are the guys causing riots in university. They're very chilled and so on. Are these guys just lying about you guys? Who are these people causing trouble? It's definitely not you guys. You guys are just chilled. What's
we've got,
up?
We've got...
dressed in white as well.
Yeah, a little white vest. We should take a picture of the revolution here. Let's take a picture of the revolution, show you what the revolution looks like. It's not very scary. I'm not going to lie to you.
Don't patronize.
George, you brought someone in studio. Who is this person now that we see next to you?
Oh, yeah. I'm with Neo. You're a fellow comrade of mine. Both in the struggle together at UJ. So, he'll just give you a bit about himself. Yeah.
No, yeah, I'm Noah Stoller. I'm also a UJ student, along with George. We're not the ones causing the violence. You can see us, we're very peaceful, relaxed people.
So what's going on? If you guys aren't causing the violence, who is, and is it justified?
It depends on who do you mean by who is causing the violence, from what take. Is it from the white or the black point of view? Obviously, when you look at the black take, blacks in general, we just seem to be a violent people, which really isn't the case. The nature of a protest is to disrupt the system, and because white monopoly capital, because the white system is so calm, it's so easy running, anytime they see disruption, they link it out as violent. So the black students' protesters will be called violent. From a white take, if you would see whites are violent, it would be the protests at UP, at UOFS, that took a very violent turn. Justification can be in either way. I heard you previously say that it's a bunch of drunk people fighting. And the truth is that it wasn't a drunk fight, it was a racial war. I've been at drunk bar fights, you know, we hit anybody around us. That was white.
You've been involved in drunk bar fights.
You're like an equal opportunity.
When you're there, you hit anybody. But what happened at UOFS, basically, it's whites who attacked blacks. It had been a random fight. You'd have hit your brother. You'd have hit Uom. You didn't hit Uom. You hit the black person.
Let's take a step back, gents. Just give us a picture of what's going on campuses. What is the fight about? And just give us a picture of how is the violence happening and so on. George?
Okay, just to subject you to what's happening in the University of Johannesburg. This is an institution that is heavily militarized. So you have private security throughout the campus. And this is just not... people are hired to be at the gates and make sure that no trouble is being caused. But you have the entire campus, you have student centers, people where people congregate just to, you know, interact with students, where student culture is. This is where you have security and close to your classes.
Why is this? Did this just happen just one day you were just chilling and then the next thing there were all of these people? What happened?
you need to understand this. The context of how management takes things in an institution is students are not safe. But that's not the reality of the situation.
But why aren't they safe? So take us back to the beginning. What has caused this militarization of the campus?
Okay, in UJ, as you've seen throughout the country, the Fees Must Fall protests have been the initial spark of security beef up in institutions. And mainly it is to basically keep the status quo or the program of the day as normal going. And we say that we cannot have in an institution where things are not right and we're pretending as everything is normal. Things are not normal and we can't pretend things are normal. So the nature of the day needs to be disrupted for us to bring at center focus what is really happening. And that's what the institution fails to see. And students are safe if we bring into question, are they safe from protesters? Yes, they are safe. Because all the protesters have been doing is conscientizing the students about the plight of black people, which everyone else seems to be desensitized from. Of course, it's easy for someone to say that the violence is justified in the institution because people are desensitized. You know, people don't care about what's really happening. But we as young people, we experience these things on the ground. We are there. We see these things. And it's absolutely not right.
So you guys lament and others have lamented this idea that these are just violent racist, not even racist, but just these violent, barbaric black people that are uneducated and are just going for this. Just give us a bit so that we understand that these are human beings, smart human beings at that. Tell us a bit about yourselves. Where are you from? What are you studying? And what are your ambitions in life? What do you want to be when you grow up?
Well, I am I'm an honor student, international relations. Mm. I grew up in Soweto, very humble beginnings.
Where in Soweto? It's important.
Orlando.
Orlando, east or west? Get specific.
Both.
Come on,
both.
I think it's when you're black.
No, when you say Soweto, there's 2 million people living in Soweto.
He's just showing off. He wants to show us that he's the one white guy. He's the one white guy who knows.
I grew up in Orlando East, Orlando West, at Rotter Park, you know.
See, now Eldos make sense why there's this rabble rousers.
Yes. No, it's not. It's actually a very calm. Okay, yeah, not
I'm
very
joking,
calm.
Okay.
But,
there you go. There you go.
You know, yeah, I want to work for the AU.
Okay.
So I'm for Durko, AU, and yeah, that's where I want to end.
Why is that? Why?
I envision a united Pan-Africanist Africa, but I believe that for that to happen, we need to have people who actually want to work for places like the AU and for Durko. You can't want to work for ABSA, for Standard Bank, or for the UN, because these are very white liberal organizations that do not want Africa, in my honest opinion.
Well, there's a question about who's going to transform them. George, tell us a bit about yourself.
You know, just to interject where he was speaking about a liberal form of education. I'm a scientist for one.
Yeah.
You understand? And you need to understand this, that in the field of science, whether it's medical science or what, we live in a country where if you're black, the only amount that your education can basically place you is in a managerial position. And you're lucky if you're in the academic space, you get to become a professor, a member of Senate, and that's as far as it goes. And the problem is that with development of IP, intellectual property, the guidelines and the system put in place to develop that is so not definitive of who we are as a people. In other words, you cannot really, really produce something of your own. Mm. And that's not what science is about. And the scientific community doesn't promote that. I come from a small town called Queenstown in Eastern Cape. And growing up there, everything is just confined and limited to this ideology that I have to get out, go make it out there. It's a white community, by the way. And every step of the way growing and coming into Johannesburg is this ideology that I have to live up to the expectation of white people and get into a system where I can be able to produce the same work that I've been learning for all these years.
I'm interested to hear your thoughts, George, and Rory. I want to ask you and everyone here, like, is this not just popular narrative of black people not getting into positions? I know that it exists because white people, it's whiteness is institutionalized.
But
do you not think that it's on young people like you guys to actually make that change because you're so brilliant? And are you not wasting time, you know, in these marches and so on where you're proving that, you know, you stand for causes, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
But if you are the best of the best of the best in your field, it doesn't matter what color you are. You will be noticed. You will be seen by the people around you. Am I wrong?
Give you an example.
I want to be challenged.
The Vice Chancellor of UJ, Prof. Marala.
Mm-hmm. Deputy
Vice Chancellor
of
UJ. He's a professor, you know. He's only produced so much paperwork, and that's where it ends. You know, some of his ideologies, if you've read his paperwork, is really good material to be produced into something bigger than that.
Mm.
But the only thing it can amount to is just paperwork, and it manages him to get a position in management, which is where he is right now. But that's not really where he's meant to be. He's a black professor, a beacon of hope in this country for people who are aspiring to be like that.
Mm.
But the only place he can just be is in that managerial position.
Where must he be alternatively?
Okay, I want you to understand this. Black people are sufficient enough.
No, quickly. Where else should he be? Where would you prefer he was?
In a pioneering society where black people are allowed to pioneer and shape the future of this country.
But as deputy vice chancellor, is he not able to do that?
Absolutely not.
Why
not? He's busy trying to make sure that we don't cause trouble in the university, and he holds meetings day in and out with the council to make them happy. That's what vice chancellors and deputy vice chancellors do. Throughout the year, the course of action is just to make sure that these students are paying fees, because as Buisenilozi said that before, these are commodities. You have to pay. It's like you're paying rent, and for as long as you don't pay, like that big guy, that landlord comes through and it's like, hey, why aren't you paying? You're not on time. And this is what it's about. You're paying for what you're getting. And the education also is colonial and institutional in itself, that doesn't allow us black people to spring out and become what we want
to be. All right. Let's interesting views by the students. Let's get one of the student leaders in on this conversation. Khotsi Chikane, who is the president of IFH. Khotsi, good morning. Good, Khotsi. You are one of the Belleville, so-called Belleville Six as well. You guys were arrested for, let's say, violent acts, and you can elaborate on that. But violent acts outside Parliament as part of this broader Feesmas for movement. Khotsi, just explain to us, first of all, you know, we're discussing, is the violence justified on the campuses? When students decide that violence on the campus is not enough and now we need to take it to Parliament, what is going through their minds? Why is this violence? Why does this violence become necessitated?
Well, the first thing is to actually understand, you know, when people say violence, I always ask them, what do you mean by violence? So when you have a group of students who come to Parliament and sit there for about an hour and a half, 2 hours, knowing very well that the minister is sitting inside Parliament and hasn't come out to address them at any point. When students eventually enter into Parliament and then sit down in front of the stairs of Parliament, right? This is not throwing stones, this is not burning anything. This is students who sit down in front of the precinct of Parliament and say, we'll wait here patiently for the minister, even though we've waited almost 2 hours. And for that, to be met by stun grenades and tear gas from the police creates an interesting dynamic of, what do you do in that situation? Do you sit down and do you accept what's going to happen? Do you sit down and do you accept that, you know what, a stun grenade is a normal procedure of how police should disperse of crowds without warning? And at that point, you start realizing that it is not violent to ask for something that is just, right? It's not violent to ask to have a conversation with an elected member of Parliament. I forget that he's a minister, an elected member of Parliament, to say, the citizens of the country want to talk to you, we've come with our masses, the least you could do is give us 5 minutes of your time. Right. So on the day, on the day, you find that a lot of events happened, and obviously I didn't get to see all the events, because I was taken away by that point. But at that point, when you look at most of the rest that happened, none of it was caused by students attacking police officers. None of it is caused by students attacking an ordinary citizen. None of it is caused by students rampaging and vandalizing the entire city. A lot of it is by the police trying to manage the system by the only way they think is possible, and that's through a use of violence and police brutality. Now, at that point, after all that happens, society still turns around and says, we're the violent ones. And this happens constantly, over and over again.
Khotsi, so just help us understand, do you feel that the students, one might argue and say, yeah, but you're not entitled to the minister's time, so if he can't see you, why do you have to force your way into Parliament? How would you then respond to that?
I would say, in what world are we not entitled to a member of Parliament's time? Like, in what democratic country do you live in where an elected official can choose not to speak to about 1,500 students who are outside Parliament?
Did he have to see you at that very time?
Or give us notification. That's another aspect. For someone to come out, so the normal procedure is get to Parliament, And people say, okay, cool, we're going to call him. And you say, fine, we'll wait. And then you wait and you ask again. You say, no, we've sent someone to call him. And you say, fine, that's fine, we'll wait. And then the person doesn't come back and report back to you. What do you do? But once again, that's distracting from the argument. The simple argument is still an elected official of the country. This is not someone stupendous or unique or special. This is an elected official of the country who refused to see students. Right? And the only time he saw students was behind guarded gates, which is odd, but that's a story for another
after
day.
After making odd comments as well.
Like, Khotsi, I'm going to be a little bit controversial here. Most of you coming from quite affluent homes, good backgrounds, well-educated parents from the struggles. You know, have you ever had a moment where you start regretting the actions? I mean, you're facing jail time now. Or was that just street cred?
Street cred. No, I don't think there's ever been a moment where I've, like, regretted a decision. I think the closest we came was, I think, 7 a.m. sitting in prison, and obviously you're sitting in a situation where you're thinking to yourself, okay, well, this is getting real really quick. But at that point, you get reminded by the other people you're with that you haven't done anything wrong. So why and how feel bad for something that, you know, you haven't done anything wrong about? So at that point, you realize that I can't have regrets. The only reason people have regrets is they know they've done something bad. And if fighting for fees and fighting for free education is something bad, then what kind of society are we living in?
Khotsi, I've spent a disastrous time in politics myself. Was hardly
so down on yourself, Rory. So down on yourself.
was hardly successful. In fact, embarrassing might be a word that we might use. But one of the things that was really disappointing was how a lot of people were saying at that time, you know, get in there, we need people who can do this, we're behind you. And then when it was time to show up, no one was there, right? No one was there through the hard times. Everybody's like, yes, do it, go for it, this is a good cause, what's going on is not right. But at the times when it matters, there's nobody there. And in fact, they turn on you and say, yeah, but what did you think you were doing, and so on. Now, you have put your life literally on the line for number one, let me just guess, you don't necessarily, you're not in a position where you can't necessarily afford fees. You come from a family, your father was the former deputy former director general in the presidency and so on. And you've been urged on, you've put your body on the line, you went to those jail cells, and now you're facing prison time. Have you felt at any time let down by your comrades, the people that you have, that you're making these sacrifices for? And again, have you sat and asked yourself, is this really worth it? I might have a criminal record, for Pete's sake.
Well, the best answer to that from my side is that I'm not doing this for a popularity test. I'm not doing it so that, you know, one day in the future people can, like, remember the name. And a lot of people have that idea that, you know, when you get into these type of struggles, that you must have something, some self-interest for it. What people aren't realizing is that the change in the politics, in particular of youth politics in this country, is that people are realizing that this is more than just myself. This is more about how society is structured, how society is actively working against black bodies in every space that we find ourselves in. And once you start realizing that, it stops becoming a popularity test. It stops becoming, you know, Khotsi Chikani's been left alone and now I should feel bad and I don't have any friends. It's about realizing that, you know what, people are focused on other issues right now. I can't steal the spotlight and say, please focus on me, you know, I'm about to go to jail or anything like that. That's not what I want. It's not what I think the movement needs at all. And if people are in the business of, I want them to focus on me so that the organization can save me, then you're in the wrong business. Rather, if you're in the business of, I want to help the organization through thick and thin, right? Even if you lose the friends, the inverted commas friends, because usually the friends who leave the first are not the friends that you should be having in the first place. And even if you lose them, that should not be seen as a defeat. It should be showing you that, you know what, you're making people uncomfortable. And in that uncomfortableness, right, you're winning a certain battle, and that's okay.
Khotsi, we're speaking to Khotsi Shikane on is the violence on campuses justified across the country? And frankly speaking, 9 to 11, let your voice be heard as well. Do you have questions for all the students coming? We've got WITS, we've got UJ, we've got UKZN, UCT, UP, UFS. Jeez, I got to remember all these U's, bloody hell. Anyway, Khotsi, I wanted to ask you, are you a card-carrying member?
A card-carrying member?
Of the ANC.
Of what? There's multiple organizations.
Are you a card-carrying member of the ANC?
Oh, the last time I checked, unless my membership has been revoked, then yes.
So I'm interested because a lot of white people, specifically listening to our radio show, are very critical of young voices, saying that it's not the white institutionalized problem; it's the government that's not doing enough for its people. Blah blah blah. What is your reply to that? You know, like, government is the ANC at the moment. Are they doing enough for the black bodies that you spoke about?
No. It's a very simple answer. No. That is not a defacing attack against ANC or against the government. It's an honest opinion of the facts on the ground. It is impossible to say the country is running normally when universities across the country are in flames. It's impossible to say that we're doing a fantastic job, everything is going according to plan, when youth unemployment is at its highest. It's impossible to say everything is going according to plan when we're predicted to grow at less than 1% this year, economic growth, right? So the simple answer is no. Mm. Do I think the organization and the government has been terrible and useless since 1994? Then I'd say no, because I have the opportunity to be at a university such as UCT, an opportunity that 20 years ago, 25 years ago, I wouldn't have.
Mm.
I wouldn't be allowed into such an institution. And even if I did, I would be used as the marquee black person in it, as the stamp of approval for the apartheid system,
mm.
right? That it's working, separate but equal development. So I would reject people who say, you know, the entire country's gone to hell, essentially.
Mm.
But I would also say that, you know, we've got work to do. And this is not just government, it's the youth as well. And that's what young people are trying to do. They're coming out and they're saying, listen, we want free education. And a lot of people, I hate this argument of, yes, but what's your plan? We've been giving the plans.
Mm.
A lot of people often think that the call for free education first came last year. This has been an argument that's been rolling over since 2006. People can even trace it that youth groups, part of the Progressive Youth Alliance, were advocating actively at Polokwane for free education, which was put in. The failure comes in, it's ANC policy, but doesn't get made into government policy.
Mm.
But to say that this is the first time students have been talking about it, we've never given our proposals, is ludicrous. So it's about how do we work as students, how does government pull up their socks as well, and not accept that the status quo can be made.
Khotsi, as we wrap up with you, you were arrested, of course. What is the current status of your trial, and how can people find out more about your trial, follow its progress, and even support you on this trial? Just give us just a quick background on the trial, and then how people can find out more about the trial, follow its progress, and support you.
Yeah, so the media tries to like highlight the Bellville 6 in particular. Which I'm not the biggest fan of. It's 29 of us who are currently under trial. The case was supposed to be heard, has been postponed to the 30th of March. Between now and then, we're hoping that there's multiple student organizations will keep students up to date on Twitter. My organization, Goal of Free Hate, is actively keeping people up to date as well. But we'll only really know more on the 30th of March when everyone makes their representations at court to see what direction does the state want to take. What we're just concerned about is why the state hasn't withdrawn the charges. It's like, it's something that bugs me every day of what kind of society we're living in where advocating for real change in a non-violent way gets you thrown into a trial.
Mm. So how...
So
Khotsi, there's a petition in place. We've got 30 seconds. How can we get involved as ordinary people that want to support you?
Yeah, if people feel like, you know, you want to be a keyboard activist, that's okay.
Mm.
A lot of these movements started off as people becoming keyboard activists who slowly became more confident and started getting away from the keyboard and back onto the ground.
Mm.
But if you're still at the keyboard activist stage, simply go onto Ngulu Free Hate's Facebook page and you'll find our petition right up there. Click on it, sign it, and show your support.
Awesome. Thank you.
Acknowledge that being a keyboard activist is not sustainable.
It's not sustainable. You need to start somewhere, but then you need to put boots on the ground. Khotsi Chikane, all the best with the trial, man. We'll be following it, and you're a hero to some of us, so keep it up.
We are talking, is the violence justified on campuses? Students from across the country, coming up next. Stay tuned.
This is CliffCentral.com.